Let me tell you why you're here.
You have 210 story office buildings.
We just witnessed some kind of...
You don't find a desk.
Secondary.
You don't find a chair.
Follow-up explosion on the World Trade Center.
You don't find a telephone.
Some kind of explosion. A lot of smoke come out of the top.
110 stories high. They are no longer there.
The building collapsed to dust.
To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust. This is your last chance.
I would ask.
After this, there is no turning back.
Once all the facts are out,
you take the blue pill.
For your understanding.
The story ends.
And for your forgiveness.
You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want.
Media is the...
You take the red
pill. Nervous system of a democracy.
You stay in Wonderland.
If it's not functioning well, the democracy can't function.
And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
The democracy can't pill. Function.
The red pill.
Take the red pill.
You have to let it all go.
Take the red pill.
Fear.
Doubt. WhatReallyHappened.com.
You disbelieve.
WTC7.net.
Free your mind.
Take the red pill.
Up because I'm getting old. You know, I think that's like one of the first signs that you're getting to be old is you can't hear shit. Actually, that's all you hear is shit. You can't actually hear real stuff.
Everyone sounds like this.
What's going on, internet? How's it hanging? Welcome to Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger, right here at RadioInfluence.com. I actually moseyed into On the Ledge Studios at about 7:30. Normally, I'm in a way sooner, but today's been one of those days where I had a bunch of crap go wrong, and I was like, man, I'm not going to be able to do any decent show prep. I'm not in a good mood. So rather than, let's say, what we would call, you know, the... I don't want to call it the normal content, but let's say the meat of the content on Dangerous Conversation. I'm just not in the mood. I'm not in the mood to be heavy. I'm not in the mood to talk about more bombings or terrorism or false flag. And by the way, all the critical thinkers out there, stop assigning everything that happens 60 seconds after it happens as false flag. I say that all the time. Be suspicious. Of course. That's what you're good at. But can't you take a couple of days to let it pan out? And that's how I feel. And I love being associated with a bunch of people that are critical thinkers, but I hate being associated with people that are automatically 100% sure that everything's bullshit. Not everything is bullshit. Some things really happen. Who knew? So that's where I am, and I'm not in one of those, I don't know who Michael O'Keefe is, but hey Mike, eat me. Or maybe I should know who Mike O'Keefe is, because, you know, on Twitter, everyone's important. You know, when you get to be a radio host, you realize that it's like catching fish. You're going to have a bunch of fish nibble your worm. Can I say that on the internet? And you're going to realize that you're only going to catch the ones that are important. And that's how it is with this program, any other program, doesn't matter, terrestrial or internet-based. I learned a long time ago that it's a showbiz thing. You can't please them all. So the ones that don't like you, don't waste any time on them. Don't waste any sleep on them. Don't try to convert them. Don't try to make them think different. You know what? Give them the double tall boys and move forward. That's what you need to do. That's how it is in life. It's the same way with your friends. It's the same way with work, your work environment. There are people that are genuine, that are people that are cool, that are people that, I don't know, they vibe in a certain way and they get you and you get them. Those are the ones you bond with. Those are the ones you hook up with, and I don't mean that in a sexual way. Well, maybe you do. I don't know. I had a couple trysts at work over the span of a 35-year radio career. So it's the same way on the internet. And for a while, I was like, man, I don't understand why he doesn't like my show, man. Maybe if I was just, you know, different for him. If I change all of me to accommodate you, I've lost me. So it's much easier to say, fuck you, go away. Go away. Don't bother, don't click it, don't press it, don't follow it. Go away. And you know what? The delete button, the block button, it really is your favorite. It's your friend. It's like I cuddle with my block button now. And I go, oh, wow. Here's another dickhead who thinks he knows everything. And I don't think I know everything. But the way it works with those people is the moment you step on their toes, the moment you change, you know, and by the way, I've changed my mind on a few issues. That happens. But I'm pretty consistent about who I am. And then you start to realize that, wow, this guy really honestly thinks Donald Trump should be president. And where's my delete button? You know, I got to find that sweet spot. It's like hitting a ball perfectly. You know, when you hit your driver just right square in the middle of your driver, you don't have to swing hard. You don't have to change your swing. You don't have to do anything. All you got to do is make contact, click, and the ball goes. It's the same way in media. Not everyone's going to get you. Not everyone's going to get it. And to spend a ton of time worrying about it and pissing and moaning about it is wasted energy. It's like walking 10 miles in the wrong direction and going, oh, shit, I need to turn. I'm not going in the right direction. So I learned it's directly connected with the more you put yourself out there, the more you're going to have haters. And they don't really hate you, but they get off on disagreeing with you because, well, they're so well informed and they're on top of things. My daddy told your daddy that my daddy said Donald Trump should be president. You know, the redneck, you know, the guy Bill Hicks says goes into a restaurant and he's sitting down, he's reading a book and the waitress comes up. Do I have that audio? You know, I think I have that. Bear with me. Wait a minute. Where's my Monty Python music? Oh, come on. This is where running your own show is difficult. It's in there somewhere, I know. Oh, I'll be right back. I got it. Thank you, Monty Python. Bill Hicks. I live in the South now, and I understand basically redneck means a sunburn on the back of your neck, but it also means you live in the Sun Belt. And it also it's also a way of describing that there are a certain percentage of people who are idiots. And this is what I want to visit tonight. I want to visit Idiot Central, the intersection of moron and asshole. People who think they know everything and are too stupid to know they don't. You know, like dumb people who don't know they're dumb, those guys. I had one of those days today. I drive an old truck. I'll get into that story in a second. And it was like, oh, man, here we go again. you know, should I put the money into buying something new? Not new, but at least upgrading a vehicle. I'm not in the position to just do that automatically. So what do I do with my older vehicle? And light bulbs went off, and I found a way to fix it. I'll get to that in a little while. And then I realized I'm not in the mood. Honestly, I'm not in the mood to talk about anything heavy. I'm not in the mood to talk about this charade of an election and the election process and voting machines. Do you realize in three different states, when they called the election for Hillary, she had 66.6% of the vote? Three sixes. You know, by the way, the movie with the sound down tonight is Edge of Tomorrow. It's kind of like Groundhog Day meets high-tech soldiers meets alien invaders. That's the movie with the sound down tonight. I was driving around today, and I had to run errands. I had to go to an auto parts store, and I had to get something to try to remedy the issue. And I was sitting there, and I'm sitting at an intersection. I got the dog in the car with me, and she looks at me like, you know, I'm God, and where are we going? What are we doing, Dad? And I was like, man, I am just not in the mood. I'm not in the mood to do dangerous conversation. I'm just not in the mood to do the typical dangerous conversation. I don't have time to do the prep. I don't have time to listen to videos, read the stories. And then I started running into, over the last two or three days, on Facebook and Twitter, you know, Twitter tough guys, people with keyboards, people that just, they live to go to attack radio hosts. Their entire life revolves around they're a fan of this guy and they're not a fan of that guy. And I'm sitting there going, that is the extent of your adulthood? Now, if you're 12, I get it. You know, you like one wrestler or you like one different Transformer. But by the time you get to be in your 30s and everything you live for is dissing a radio host. Oh, you should see what I said on Twitter. I dialed up Ledge on Twitter and it was great. Those people, I'm dedicating tonight's broadcast to those assholes. Oh, by the way, that's if you can hear that in the background, that's my dog going down on herself. I don't know. I think every time I don't pay attention to her and I start doing my broadcast, maybe. Hey, come on. Let's admit it. Seriously. Okay. If you could, you would. If I had a few less vertebrae in my back. Who wouldn't? So, GT, sometime before the show ends, I hope you finish. She's in a trance. Let me turn the mic around. Let me hear. Hang on. Can you hear that? Oh, now she's calming down. Oh, see, now she knows she's on mic. Oh, big exhale. Maybe she finished. So tonight we're going to dedicate the show to the Twitter tough guys, to the Facebook assholes, and everybody else who has an opinion. Now, I'm a big fan of the internet. As you've listened to the show, you realize I'm glad everybody gets to have a voice. I am also incredibly, I don't know, amused, a good word. I'm also incredibly amused by the idea. Let's go, Mr. CD player. I'm incredibly amused by the idea that everybody gets a voice and then we truly get to tap into their brain. And now when I say brain, I don't necessarily mean large, developed frontal lobe. I mean more reptilian in nature. And we're going to visit the Darwin Awards tonight a little bit. We're going to visit weird stories. And it's just a reminder, and it's a reminder to me to stay balanced in my life. Some of the topics we talk about on Dangerous Conversation are very heavy. Some of them make you rethink life or the matrix, as we call it. And you can get sucked into that vortex that toilet bowl like a big turd circling the... And life is far more than that. Life is laughter and love and friendships and memories and family. It is way more than just paying attention to the oligarchy or the empire or whatever you want to call it. And I came to that realization, when are we, 2016? I came to that realization about 2010. Because I just started, you know, reading about Greece and Rome and Mesopotamia and all these other empires that started with nothing, peaked, and went belly up. And everything that's happening now is no different than then, other than technology involved in energy usage. That's it. It's the same human greed, the human control, the mechanisms of power, the mechanisms of controlling information. All of them are the same, other than how fancy it gets. And now on Twitter and Facebook, everyone gets an opinion. And I giggle and I laugh. I used to go at them. Not go at them. I used to try to defend myself. And what am I fucking doing here? These people are idiots. When I say idiots, I don't mean that they don't have a purpose in life. I just mean they're never going to ratchet their IQ higher than room temperature. But man, they know what's going on. So I found the Bill Hicks. So why don't we start the show? I'm going to play, you know what? I'm going freeform tonight. Because I had automobile issues all day today. Nice bit from Bill Hicks right here. Let's check it out.
Story, this is going to frighten you because it's absolutely true. I'm down in that town Fife. After the show, I go to a Waffle House. I'm not proud of it. I'm hungry. I'm eating. I'm alone. And I'm reading a book. Waitress walks over to me. Hey, what you reading for? Is that like the weirdest question ever? I have never, ever been asked that. You know what I mean? What are you reading? Oh, okay. But what are you reading for? Shit, you stumped me. Why do I read? Why do I read? I don't know. Guess I read for a lot of reasons, you know. And one of them is so I don't end up being a fucking waffle waitress, all right? And this trucker in the next booth gets up, stands over me, and goes, "Well, looks like we got ourselves a reader." What the fuck's going on here? Like I walked into a Klan rally in a Boy George outfit or something. It's a fucking book I read. There, I said it. Waitress goes, "Why read when you can just flip on the tube?" Because it's not the same. What do you think I'm reading? Hee-haw the book? She said, "Huh?" So if you've ever been to a Waffle House and you notice that the menus has pictures of the food on it? Yeah.
That would be Bill doing his best gorilla imitation. You know, when you think about it,
I got the right music queued up.
We're not all supposed to be the same, are we? That's right, boys and girls. Some of us have intellect, some of us are deep thinkers, and some of us can literally remember ninth grade physics. Some of us can actually read three-syllable words. And when it comes to dealing with mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging troglodytes. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Troglodytes. Sooner or later, you've got to draw a line in the sand. I think this is my birth. I think that this is like a birth for me. This is like, as you refine your argument, you refine your audience. I think that's what tonight's show's about. I really do. Now, I'm not, if you're a fan of the show, but you don't get some of what's being talked about, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the know-it-all dumbass. Oh, there's a beautiful meme. I think I have it saved on my... No, go, don't do that. There we go. Oh, here it is. I don't know who Osho is, O-S-H-O or Osho, but his quote is, the less people know, the more they stubbornly... I'm sorry. The more they stubbornly... No, the more stubbornly they know it.
Okay. Can we do that again?
Cool. The less people know, the more stubbornly they know it. Now that's some guru that, you know, sits around and meditates 10 hours a day, but it's the truth. That's how people are. And that's why people seem to think that just because the internet has given them a keyboard and a link, that their opinion matters in the large picture because everybody matters, but you don't matter. You're an idiot. Michael. Wow, I hit the post. That was cool. I like that music. We should queue up some more.
Wait a minute. Wait. Running my own board. You know how that works. Okay.
All right. Let's see if Bill's done with the gorilla gimmick.
It is frightening to know that in many parts of our world right now, people are yelling revolution, revolution. And in other parts, they're yelling evolution. We want our phones. You know my problem? I watch too much news. I don't know if you've ever sat and watched CNN longer than, say, 20 hours in one day. I've got to cut that out. You ever watch CNN headline news for any length of time? It's the most depressing fucking thing you will ever do. War, famine, death, AIDS, homeless, recession, depression, war, famine, death, AIDS. Then you look out your window as if... Where is all this shit happening?
I have my headphones on, and my dog heard that, and she lifted her head off the bed.
Hey, man. Ted Turner is making this shit up. Shane Fonda won't sleep with him. He runs through a typewriter. By 1992, we will all die of AIDS. Read that on the air. I don't get laid. Nobody gets laid.
Thank you, Bill Hicks, for driving the point home. The whole idea is, if you can't please everyone, don't worry about it. You can count your close friends on one hand, unless, of course, you have, I don't know, maybe 50 fingers on one hand. Then, of course, you should be, I don't know, maybe you're a mutant. But the whole idea in media, or being a media host, is somebody is out there getting off on hating you. And the moment you, it's just like they're throwing you the bait. And if you bite that bait, they're like, hey, honey, look, I got Ledge pissed off at me. Hang on. How do you spell do? Okay. No, that can't be. That's too many letters. Those kind of people, you know what? They're always going to be there. Always. And as much as I love new media, as much as I love the internet, as much as I love the idea that everybody gets a voice, Michael O'Keefe, eat me. I just unfollowed you. The reason I unfollowed you is because you don't like me. I've never said I didn't like you. I never said I didn't like a listener. I have never done that. But the moment you're talking to one of those, The moment you go through transitions and changes in your show and you move from one point to, and suddenly you're on their radar and what the hell was that? I'm just watching my dog. And it's that way in life. It's not just, you know, podcasting or broadcasting. It is that way in your work environment. You go to work. Let's just say you work in the average. I'm in the cubicle office space. I'm stuck in, everything sucks, but I'm still trying to make the best of it. I still try to do a decent job and I get along with most of the people in the office. Guess what? 5, 6, 7 people in that immediate space that you're in are not going to like you because you come in the mood. You're in a good mood walking into work and they're pissed. They don't like their life. They don't like their wife. They're not getting laid. They don't have enough money. Their dick's too small. Whatever it is, they're going to take it out on you because for some reason, you are happy. And in 2010, remember, my rabbit hole was 2004. I went through the confusion and trying to re-rack and figure things out in the world. And then all you do is tumble down the rabbit hole farther and you find out this is bullshit. Oh, my God. Now that's bullshit. And as the aggregate accumulates, you start to realize that a lot of your life is simply older people passing on bullshit to you that was passed on to them. And guess what? Grandpa passed it on to daddy. And great-grandpa, the only way you evolve is not to learn something, is to unlearn things. But it takes work, and it's not always fun, and you're not going to be the most popular person in the room. And then everybody's got you in their gun sights because you're ruffling their fucking feathers. You know what? Double tall boys, eat me. Don't worry about it. I'm kind of speaking to myself here. So tonight, let's have a little fun. Let's look at some of the idiots and assholes of the world. If you've never heard of the Darwin Awards, get it? Okay. I've got a video here. And you know what? Before we even get to this, let me tell you what's going on. I drive an old truck. It's got an oil leak. Now, when oil leaks out of an engine, it can just kind of dribble down the side of the engine, maybe land on the manifold and burn up. Or it can leak directly above your alternator. Now, that's not a big deal until it accumulates. And then suddenly your alternator's not charging your battery. You see where I'm going with this? Now, I've had this issue over and over again. And I've had to replace alternators, plural, on my truck. Well, it's starting to show signs of doing it. I put it on the charger today, and the voltage is dropping. I got into a conversation with my mechanic, and I said, okay, listen, maybe it's the magnets inside the alternator that are coated with oil, and for some reason they're not generating enough DC current, and instead of 14.2, 13.8, I'm getting 12.1. Basically, my truck was practically running off the battery again. And I was like, well, what if I got some engine degreaser? Spray it all over everything, pressure wash it off, do it again. Instead of spending $150 on alternator and installation, I spent $8 degreasing my engine. And I think, I'm not saying I fixed it, but I'm pretty sure I fixed it. And if you don't like my bell, how about this one? That's for another asshole. No, I take that back. It's not for another asshole. It's for another person that just loves. People fucking love to complain. You're not happy unless you're bitching all the time, which means you're not happy. You know what? I need to douche my lists, my Facebook and my Twitter. I need to go in there with a weed whacker and find the dandelion and kick its ass. And I think that's where I'm going with it. I really do. I guess we're going to call it tonight's venting show. All right, Darwin Awards. If you're not familiar with the Darwin Awards, I think they showed up, what, early 2000s? I don't know the first year of them. Basically, it was a list of people who proved once again that not all, and I'm not talking about some superior Einstein, you know, I'm up there 180, a buck 90. I'm talking about people who don't know they're dumb and act superior. That's different. And I'm not making fun of people with lower intellect. I'm making fun of the people with lower intellect who somehow think they know everything. And the internet gives them a voice. So that's what tonight's show's about. Okay. Because I had engine trouble all day and I was running around and I didn't get to do any prep, I basically found some websites and some videos and I saved them. Now what happens normally on this show is I prep for about 2-3 hours. I read an article or about 5 to 7 articles. I read them. They're not that long. And I click and I save them. And then I open them as tabs. I do the same thing with video I play. But I haven't had a chance to prep tonight because today's been a rat race for me. And I think my truck is fixed. I don't know. So I Googled top 10 Darwin Award winners. And I have not listened to this video. This might suck. But let's find out.
Welcome to Top 10 Archive. You know, despite what that 1,000 Ways to Die show says, staying alive really isn't that much of a task. For the most part, it boils down to not doing stupid things. Sure, there are some variables thrown in there that can ruin your day, but for a lot of us, it's not that tough. For those featured in the Darwin Awards, they just didn't have the wit to keep themselves alive.
See, that... Really, what I mean, when you want to measure dumb, what is the yardstick? Death. That's the fucking yardstick. When you die from your own behavior, that is the ultimate measurement. So here we go.
Proving Darwin's theory of natural selection has merit.
Uh-huh.
Number 10, the roller coaster thrill seeker. Nothing good can come from not heeding the warnings given before a ride on a roller coaster. They're fast-moving machines with all sorts of bars and pipes strategically placed to not impede on the riders. That is, of course, if the riders adhere to all regulations.
Where do you think we're going with this one? See, you remember, I haven't seen this video. Normally, I watch this shit ahead of time. I'm thinking somebody stood up. What do you think? This is for people that don't like my bell. I think somebody stood up on a roller coaster or stuck their arm out. Either they lost a limb or they lost their head.
This little gem comes from Richmond, Virginia, in August of 1999, when a student was killed on a roller coaster known as the Shockwave at Paramount Kings Dominion Amusement Park. Despite the safety harness, the young man thought it was wise to remove his restraints to be able to raise his hands in the air.
Yeah!
The problem was, without restraints, gravity would surely take over around the loops.
Hey, you know that loop over there? See that thing where you hang upside down? I'm not going to need any type of restraint. I am going to defy the gravitational forces of the universe.
There's no surprise ending here. As that's exactly what happened.
Splat. Where's my splat? I need a splat. Hang on, I'm searching. Gotta be a splat. I go. Come on, there's gotta be a nice one. There's gotta be a good, like, oh, come on. I know, I thought I had one saved. Oh, well. You know what? I'll be searching while this plays. Here we go.
The victim was found dead from massive head trauma on a nearby catwalk. Number 9. Insurance fraud and death. November of 2009, Belgium police arrived on the scene of a crime that would initially seem to be road rage. A man, stabbed to death, lay on the road near what was presumed to be his burning car. As the events unfold, though, this turns out to be far stranger than an act of aggression on the road. The victim, Thierry B., had a grudge over insurance money he was never paid from 2 years prior when his restaurant burnt to the ground.
Oh, boy.
Trying to trick the insurance companies, Thierry had the genius plan to set his car on fire and stab himself to make it look like an act of violence. Unfortunately, not doing stupid, Pesca learned precisely near what was presumed to be his burning car.
Sorry, it was my bad.
As the events unfold, though, this turns out to be far stranger than an act of aggression on the road. The victim, Thierry B., had a grudge over insurance money he was never paid from 2 years prior when his restaurant burnt to the ground. Trying to trick the insurance companies, Thierry had the genius plan to set his car on fire and stab himself to make it look like an act of violence. Unfortunately, Thierry was no biology major, and as he started self-inflicting wounds, he cut an artery in his neck, causing him to bleed out.
I know his family's sad. I know his high school buddies are going to miss him. But these are the people I'm talking about. The rocket scientists of the internet and their mighty keyboard. Those are those guys.
You know, I'm feeling kind of lightheaded.
Eight, the bitter divorcee. After a divorce that left him with little more than what was on his body, Uwe was forced to turn ownership of his house over to his now ex-wife.
That's like Andre Rison. Didn't Andre Rison do that?
Enraged
football fans,
aged by the divorce and his wife's victory, Uwe sought to take matters into his own hands and leave her at least with an unpleasant burnt taste in her mouth. The 40-year-old German...
I gotta guess it. Remember, I have not seen these videos ahead of time. I promised you. I'm not lying. I'm thinking she was in the building. And she ended up as a crispy critter.
And entered his former home, drilled holes into an oil tank in the basement, and set the house ablaze. Unfortunately, the man left himself no time to escape the...
I'm sorry. These are great.
...scorching fire, and went down with the home. Number 7. The Avalanche. As Samuel L. Jackson once said, you should see ice. It moves like it has a mind. In April of 2000, 43-year-old Walter of Fairbanks, Alaska, learned precisely what that means when he found himself on the wrong end of an avalanche. When using a snow machine to climb a snowy mountain, one should take care to follow warnings of avalanches, especially when warm weather had threatened to loosen up the hillside snow and local organizers advised to stay off steeper slopes. Regardless, Walter took his loud machine and...
Yeah, but is that Darwin Awards or is that a cocky skier? Because, I've been around those people too, you know? The guy who's ridden his motorcycle for 25 years and he thinks he can handle it anywhere, anytime. That kind of guy. In other words, it's not necessarily a stupid person. It's a cocky person. So I don't know if that's probably what that is.
Started heading for the mountains, his inevitable end coming when an avalanche of snow dislodged and buried him alive. Walter was found frozen under 4 feet of tightly packed snow. Number 6, a new kind of...
Hey, at least he's well preserved, you know? You know, he's going to look real good in that coffin. I think that's someone who doesn't respect nature. I think that's someone that's not paying attention to the idea of gravity, melting snow, temperatures, millions of cubic feet of ice and crystallized water. I think that's more of not a dumb person. That's more careless and egotistical. I am going to give him credit for making the Darwin Awards, but I don't think he was necessarily a dumb person. I think it's more cocky.
In roulette. The concept of Russian roulette is kind of a dumb one to begin with, but imagine swapping out a handgun with an unexploded anti-tank mine. Despite being over 25 years old, mines, if not deactivated properly, can still prove to be explosive, a fact that three friends discovered one night in March of 1999 in Phnom Penh, Cambodia. Under the influence of alcohol and their own stupidity, the three men used the mine to play Russian roulette in a public bar.
Oh, yeah.
Once fellow patrons figured out what they were up to, the bar emptied out quick. This story ends exactly as you would expect.
Of course.
With one too many stomps on the mine causing it to detonate, destroying the bar, and completely obliterating the three friends. Number five, six lives for a chicken? This story is a little sad, considering lives were lost trying to save one simple chicken stuck in a well.
Okay, you know, some of those stories happen, and I'm, you know, I don't hunt. I get it, you know, all of God's creatures are special. I kind of feel that vibe with people, but a chicken is a chicken. We're not talking about, let's say, I don't know, an ape, something that has maybe a higher, or maybe your pet, your dog is stuck in a well, that kind of thing. And okay, again, I have not heard this audio, so I'm gonna say, all right, big heart, small brain.
How the poultry wound up in the well is unknown, but it can be accounted that six different people went into the well to try and save the lone hen. First, an 18-year-old farmer went into the 60-foot well, succumbing to a powerful undercurrent that got the best of him.
Okay, so we're gonna name them Tom, Dick, and Harry, the first three people. Tom goes in. You want to go down? Go. Tom, Dick, and Harry. Tom goes in. Hey, Tom, you down there? Tommy, hey! Whoa, Tommy, buddy, what's up? Shh, can't hear nothing. Dick, you better go in and look for Tom.
The farmer's sister and two brothers, said not to be avid swimmers, followed one by one, also being pulled under by the undercurrent.
You know what would kill me? If the chicken is standing on a ledge above the water. I get it. People died. People are sad. But not tonight. Not on Dangerous Conversation. Tonight is about the know-it-all, the asshole, the Twitter tough guy, people that's their opinions matter way more than anybody else. And whenever you become a talk show host, you are in the bullseye. And you can't please them all, so fuck the ones that don't get it. As my dog laps gallons of water in the background.
Thinking they could right the situation, two elderly farmers came to help, only to succumb to the same fate.
Hey, we haven't seen Tom, Dick, or Harry. I know you're 85 years old, but why don't you climb down there, okay?
You notice every time I talk about an idiot, I give him a redneck accent?
Because you can't exactly talk about a stupid person. And given this, what?
You can't do that. You gotta dumb them down. And stretch out their words.
The irony of the situation, of course, the chicken made it out alive.
I knew it! I knew it! Oh, now I get it. Maybe it's a special chicken. Maybe you raised it from a chick. Maybe you called him Rooster Cogburn. I don't know. But you know what I do know? It's a fucking chicken. All right? What, six funerals? What do you know what? I picture six holes in the ground, six caskets, and a chicken running around going, bah!
Number four, a tiger's dinner.
Uh-oh.
Chalk these deaths up to another selection of people just not following the rules of common sense. Two German tourists were spending an awe-filled day in a wild game park in Alicante, Spain. Throughout the park, which visitors remain in their vehicles to experience, signs are posted warning passersby to leave all windows and doors closed.
Okay, you know, when you go on the African tour and you're surrounded by 55 baboons, and they're all over your car and they're throwing poop at you, don't roll down your windows. When you got your a Land Rover and you're going across a river in Africa and there's 20-foot African crocs right staring into your windshield, I don't think that's the time to stick your hand out and try to feed them a piece of food. I get that. People in zoos do, by the way, I'm not a big fan of zoos because there's a reason they call them wild animals. They're wild. I have not heard this audio. Let's find out how this one goes.
So, what does our miraculous duo do when they reach...
What do you think? What do you think?
...reach the tiger grotto? They leave the safety of their vehicle and lock the doors behind them.
Hey, I got my wallets on the seat of the car, so lock the car, okay?
You know, there's 7.5 billion people on this planet. Seven and a half billion. If you simply were to just do the Forrest Gump, you know, you like draw the line where Forrest is, like right there at 70, and the average IQ is at about, what's the average IQ? Buck 10, buck 5. Then you get into higher IQs in the 120 range. Then you get into very intelligent people at about 140. Then you get into, you know, the MIT and the, you know, the Einsteins and the, Why would you? I gotta back this up. I need all of this in one big line. Here we go.
Spain. Throughout the park, which visitors remain in their vehicles to experience, signs are posted warning passersby to leave all windows and doors closed. So, what does our miraculous duo do when they reach the Tiger Grotto? They leave the safety of their vehicle and lock the doors behind them. They quickly become a meal for three Bengal tigers nearby, being found later completely disemboweled.
Wow. I wonder if he was, like, reaching for his keys. Where the fuck are my keys? You know, like you see in all the horror movies? You know, like Freddy Krueger's chasing you, Jason Voorhees has got his big machete, or Texas Chainsaw Massacre, or all the 900,000 zombie movies, and your car's right there. Why would you lock the doors? Here we go. Next story. Oh, this is going to involve a poisonous snake.
Number 3, tempting the cobra. When your last words are, "I'm a man, I can handle it."
See, are you starting to sense the theme of what, not just the show, but the whole concept of... There's a big difference between the hubris of thinking you can do anything, and you know, and, oh, I don't need a parachute. I'll jump out of the plane. I'll fly like a, you know, that dumb hubris, cockiness, because you're either, you really are stupid, or you're trying to show off. What did he say? Okay, here we go.
The cobra. When your last words are, "I'm a man, I can handle it,"
you're
not doing much to prove you're the fittest to survive. Roger Croteau of Pennsylvania let his friend Wayne Roth play with his pet cobra when the snake recoiled and bit him. Unlike any sane individual just bitten by a rather venomous snake, Roth refused to go to a hospital for...
So, what, the toxins kind of kick in and they burn. Let's say you get bit in a hand and they travel up your bloodstream. So, and then what happens is not only does your hand go numb, but the poison starts to kill nerve endings and cells and your hand dies. I mean, it dies. Okay. And then eventually once it reaches your heart, the rest of you is a goner. So he got bit. He's got these like two giant fang marks. And there's a little blood coming out. And meanwhile, there's cobra venom moving through his veins. Do you think that guy deserves to live? Neither do I.
Anti-venom. Instead, he went to a bar to brag about his newfound manhood.
That a boy!
His bragging lasted only a few hours until the slow-acting toxin, known to attack the central nervous system, kicked in and ceased Roth's major bodily functions.
Imagine sitting there at the bar going, "Man, this is good beer. I can't feel my legs."
Number 2. Fire and gunpowder don't make good bedfellows. Some things just don't mix. Oil and water, ammonia and bleach, stupidity and combustibles. Going along with that third one, we also have an open flame and gunpowder. An Indiana man, Gregory, was in the process of cleaning his .54 caliber when he made one fatal mistake. While trying to see down the barrel of his gun...
He lit a lighter.
I have not heard this video. He's like, I can't find my flashlight. Oh, here's my Bic.
Hadn't been firing properly. Gregory used a cigarette lighter as a light source. For anyone familiar with gunpowder, the ending to this tale should be no surprise.
That's like Wile E. Coyote. I was down here.
The gun fired in Gregory's face and taking away Gregory's ability to procreate indefinitely. Number one, man versus locomotive.
Oh, how many of these videos have you seen where people know a train's coming and they're like, oh, you know, give me my GoPro and we're, you know, those kind of guys. I'm not talking about people skydiving and they die or people with the wing suits and they're tempting fate. At least there's a little bit of bravery in it. And eventually, you know, some of them end up as, you know, like a bug on a windshield. But the ones that want to run down a train track, classic.
It all started with an SUV getting stuck on railroad tracks. Gerard and his Porsche Cayenne got stuck between the safety bars due to Gerard's poor judgment.
Well, that happens all the time. Oh, I can beat the train. You know, ding, 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 ding. You see the two arms coming down on both sides of the road. Ding, 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 ding. All right. So what do? They try to beat the first one, and they get, and then the second one comes down in front of them, and they stop. It's a piece of wood. Plow through it. If you're going to try to beat the train, don't let a long 20-foot piece of wood that is about a half an inch thick create your demise.
But that isn't the worst part of the driver's demise.
Oh, good.
Hoping to save his precious vehicle, Gerard leapt from his vehicle and started running towards the train, flailing his arms in hopes he could stop.
Stop! You're going to hit my truck! You're going to hit my truck! Look! Look, it's got rims! It's got XM satellite! You can't hit my truck, dude!
The speeding locomotive. What Gerard didn't anticipate is that trains don't stop on a dime. In the battle of man versus train, train always wins. Like these top 10 videos? So
I got to admit, ladies and gentlemen, every time I watch one of these or read one of these, I am reminded that I will never be Albert Einstein. I will never be Oppenheimer. I will never be anyone who's going to talk to you about the math behind black holes or the concepts of space-time and bending. I'm never going to be that person. But I am smart enough to get the fuck out of the way of a train. Know what I'm saying? All right, as we're talking about dumb people tonight, here's a couple minutes of George Carlin speaking about dumb people on Dangerous Conversation.
Well, I know some people don't like you to talk about those things. I know that. Some people don't like you to mention certain things. Some people don't want you to say this. Some people don't want you to say that. Some people think if you mention some things, they might happen. Some people are really fucking stupid. Did you ever notice that? How many really stupid people you run into during the day? God damn, there's a lot of stupid bastards walking around. Carry a little pad and pencil with you. You wind up with 30 or 40 names by the end of the day. Look at it this way. Think of how stupid the average person is, and then realize half of them are stupider than that. And it doesn't take you very long to spot one of them, does it? Take you about 8 seconds. You'll be listening to some guy. You say, this guy is fucking stupid. Then there are some people, they're not stupid, they're full of shit. That doesn't take very long to spot either, does it? Take you about the same amount of time. You'll be listening to some guy and say, well, he's fairly intelligent. He's full of shit. Then there are some people, they're not stupid, they're not full of shit, they're fucking nuts. Dan Quayle
is all three. All three. Stupid, full of shit, and fucking nuts.
Nighttime out on the ledge.
Sure, let's have a little bit of this. I get the big Bob Marley joint. Look at this. Here, try this.
Ledger.
That's what you are. You are the motherfucking Antichrist.
DC, Dangerous Conversation.
I tried every fucking thing I could fucking think of to mold him into a proper kind of DJ.
Ledgy Poo. Out on the ledge.
He puts his arms around you. You can't see him,
but you feel his presence.
Ledger.
My parents used to go, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Would you think for yourself?
Your mother was a hamster, and your father smelt of elderberries.
Ledger.
Because that's one of the loopholes in the law. They keep the, in the smoking beds, they keep, if it's part of a theatrical production, a loophole in the law, because they don't want to fuck up some faggy Tennessee Williams production and ruin the integrity of the show. So they leave this fucking loophole open for me. If the cigarette bothers you because you're envious, vote next time. How about that? Vote. Yeah, every now and then. Figure out what the fuck's going on in your community. No, you don't vote. You got shit to do. Leave it to old people with breathing problems who will never come here. This whole fucking generation is so unbelievably sad. If you're just getting to, like, partying age, you're fucked. There's nothing going on in this country anymore. It's done. Last call. It's just a suck generation. It's the most boring fucking generation in the history of people. It's all dumbed down and watered. When's the last time you heard stories about rock and roll bands chucking TVs out of hotel windows or any of that shit that used to be fun? Like, there was fun in the world. Some of this is going to make me sound like a grumpy old fuck, and I am, but I have just cause. There's nothing. As people get older, the older you get, the more bitchy you get. Because that's just natural. The more you've done shit, the more jaded you get. But I think we're going to be the first generation of old people. As soon as someone gets old, they complain about the new kids. And, oh, these kids today, look, they're crazy. It's always that the new generation was too deviant. These kids are out of control. They're crazy. They're immoral. Look at what they're doing. In our day, if we wanted fun, we just went to a barn dance. And we didn't even finger fuck till we were like 35 years old. But these kids today... It was always that the new generation was over the top, and we're going to be the first generation of elderly people complaining, but in the opposite fashion, where we're going, look at these kids today, these half faggots. We used to do crank off of titty dancers and shit. It was, no one got hurt. We had a lot of fun. We got some good stories and herpes out of the deal. It was a fucking good time. The blisters bring me back. These pussies, they drink a Red Bull for some pep, and they prefer if you went on the patio for a cigarette. And the closest they come to a fist fight is on a message board somewhere. You looking at my girl? I'm gonna delete you from my MySpace, friend. You got some block user in your future, faggot. They're about to start piss testing for adrenaline in the workplace. That's how sad this country's getting. Now, shaking your urine in front of you. Is that yours, Donnie? It looks a little cloudy. Have you been having fun on the weekend? Are we not enough fun for you here at the Verizon Wireless family? You need to seek it elsewhere? I don't think you're a team player. That's why I love hearing people go, oh, that town, that's like 20 years behind the times, that fucking place. Book me there. I had fun 20 years ago. But I can still smoke indoors? Oh, I got ecstasy still pure, uncut, and readily available? Oh, shit. What cavemen they must be.
Scott Mitchell.
Is it possible for you to shut the fuck up for 10 seconds?
Sex and drugs and women being set on fire.
I am a grandmaster dialectician.
You know, you guys, you're supposed to be so good at listening, you can't even remember what I said to you 2 seconds ago.
Scott Ledger.
Dangerous conversation.
I don't know. I'd be a lot better off if I would have studied more when I was growing up, you know? But you know where it all went wrong was the day they started the spelling bee. Because up until that day, I was an idiot, but nobody else knew, you know? And the spelling bee day, you know, popped up. All right, kids, up against a wall. It's time for public humiliation. Spell a word wrong, sit down in front of your friends. You know, that's great for little egos. Hey, look at me, I'm a moron. I wasn't even close. I was using numbers and stuff. That's why I admired that kid who spelled it wrong on purpose so he could sit down, you know? He knew he wasn't going to win, so why stand there for 3 hours? First round, cat, K-A-T, I'm out of here. Then as he passed you, I know there's two T's. I remember my teacher asked me, Brian, what's the I before E rule? I before E, always. What are you, an idiot, Brian? Apparently. So she explains it, no, Brian, it's I before E, except after C, and when sounding like A, as a neighbor in way, and on weekends and holidays and all throughout May, and you'll always be wrong no matter what you say. That's a hard rule. That's a rough rule. Plurals were hard, too. Brian, how do you make a word a plural? You put an S. You put an S at the end of it. When? On weekends and holidays. No, Brian. No, let me show you. So she asked this kid who knew everything, Irwin, what is he plural for ox? Oxen. The farmer used his oxen. Brian, what? Brian, what's the plural for box? Boxing. I bought 2 boxes of donuts. Oh, no, Brian, no. Let's try another one. Irwin, what is he plural for goose? Geese. I saw a flock of geese. Brian, what? Brian, what's the plural for moose? Moosin'. I saw a flock of moosin'. There are many of them, many much moosin'. Out in the woods, in the wooders, in the woodsin'. The meat's wanting the food. Food is to eatin', is it? The meat's wanting the food and in the wooding, is it? In the food in the wooding, is it? Brian. You're an imbecile. Imbecilin'. What, are you speaking German, Brian? German. Germaine. Jackson. Jackson 5. Tito. Brian, what the hell are you talking about? I don't know, really. I think the worst day was the day the science project was due. Waking up that morning, that was fun, huh? Yeah. Your head would pop off your pillow. Oh, no. That's due today. I had 9 months to work on it. I did nothing. I have a cardboard box. A boxing. And you'd show up, you're scared because you don't have anything good, and you find out all the other kids, their parents made theirs for them. I hated that, you know? They're backing in on flatbed trucks. One kid with a volcano. He didn't have to zip up his own pants, but he built a volcano. He had to swing that. I don't know what to do for my project, so I brought in a paper cup filled with dirt, just hoping she'd know I'm an idiot and just walk right on past me. Just as long as I was holding something. What do you have there, Brian? It's a cup of dirt. Just put an F on there and let me go home. We'll explain it. Well, it's a cup with dirt in it. I call it cup of dirt. You should move on now. You should go ahead and move on. Head on down the line here. So she went to this one kid. There was a kid in my class. He made the same solar system like 19 years in a row, you know? Bunch of styrofoam balls held together with coat hangers. Hey, you're breaking some new ground there, Copernicus. He's going, the big yellow one's the sun. The yellow one is the sun. Okay, all right, what are these other planets? The big yellow one is the sun. All right, calm down. All right!
Here's Ledge.
Some of you know me as Mikey Gaga. Some of you know me as Joey Boombatz.
He's crazy, he's a fool, but he's not a liar.
This is not a conversation for children. Look, I don't think you're crazy. I know you're not a terrorist. I know you're just an ordinary guy who's popped his top. But you must connect with those people out there.
Dangerous conversations.
That's right, nature's way of thinning the herd is saying you're unnecessary and unimportant. That's how it goes. I know you think you're important. And I know your parents, your cousin, and your cousin love you very much. But guess what? You're just an idiot and an asshole. Wouldn't it be great if the internet had an entrance exam where you couldn't log on unless you could, I don't know, put the square peg in the square hole? That would be so cool. But unfortunately, it's not. And for radio hosts and podcasters and bloggers, we have a whole new category that we call the hater. The disgruntled, pissed at myself, I'm angry at the world because I'm masturbating in my cellar and I'm 48 and I've never kissed a girl. That guy? Or the woman? Who didn't get to be the cheerleader. And she wasn't in the science club. And now, yes, she's got the tramp stamp. And she's, well, let's just say, frugal with thought. Those people, they're all out there. They exist. I'm not saying they shouldn't exist. I'm saying, should they have a pipeline to us? Or should there not be a security guard going, excuse me, ma'am, you're stupid. You can't get in the door. It's like a bouncer at a nightclub. Why don't we have that on the internet? Why don't we have that? I can type words, so there. I don't know how to spell therefore. I can type words, so may be. See, when I get to two-syllable words, it gets difficult. Yeah. And that's what we're getting to. Now, you've heard from everybody tonight, from Rogan to Reagan. You didn't hear Joe Rogan. You heard Carlin, Hicks, Stanhope, Reagan. I got to find some Joe Rogan before we wrap it up at 10 p.m. East. We'll do it. So as I was doing that break, by the way, the song I played was from a band called Clench Fist. Most, not all, but most of the music I play on Dangerous Conversation is actually unsigned bands. Because unsigned bands usually, well, they're unsigned because either they're not talented or they are talented, but they're controversial. The bands I play on my show are controversial. There's plenty of talent in the band. And Clench Fist, literally located about, I don't know, 90 minutes north of me here in the Tampa Bay area. Mikey is the drummer. Happy birthday, Mike. I played it for you today for your birthday. And they're a very talented set of guys. And not all their music is thought-provoking and deep and questioning the Matrix, but I would say, I don't know, 50% of it is. I love this. Doesn't this just make you want to shop at a mall in 1960? That's right. Teflon pans, no stick. Yeah. Anyway, so Clench Fist, check them out. It's a pretty solid band. Solid band. Okay, during the break, I thought to myself, we've kind of talked about the lack of intellect with a certain percentage of people, and we've certainly played enough spoken word artists and comedians to talk about that. But I thought to myself, what about art? You know, what about someone that makes a horrible movie? Now, is the horrible movie bad because it had a bad script? Bad actors, a bad director, a combination of all of those things. And again, this top 10 list, I simply typed in the top 10 worst movies of all time, because everybody loves movies. By the way, the sound down, movie with the sound down tonight is Edge of Tomorrow, which is Groundhog Day. It's a sci-fi version of Groundhog Day with crazy-looking creatures. And the first, I don't know, 80% of the movie, the first 80% of the movie is solid, and then it gets predictable, you know, like most Hollywood movies do. And it's Tom Cruise, Mr. Scientology. No serious subject matters tonight, I promise. And we'll stop. Okay. So I don't know what's going on here in this specific top 10 list, but I did see one picture of one man's face. So I do know that Tom Green is in this. I'm assuming it's Freddy Got Fingered. And if you've seen it. Now, if you get baked out of your mind or drunk out of your mind, any movie is entertaining because you're out of your mind. These are movies that somehow made their way to big screens and people paid their hard-earned money to go see them. And since we're on the subject of dumb, stupid idiots tonight on the program, I think this is where we go next. Okay, farts are funny, but an entire movie of farts, and that's Pauly Shore. That's Pauly Shore right there. I can see him. Yeah, but I kind of like early Pauly Shore stuff. Now, okay, let's let it roll for a while.
No excuse for these flicks. They're just bad.
How we doing? Where were you?
Welcome to WatchMojo.com, and today we're counting down our picks for the top 10 worst movies of all time.
It makes you kill yourself.
You can put the cheese in your bum.
For this list, we've chosen fairly well-known films that are almost universally described as terrible, based on reviews and public opinion.
Don't blame me for your failure.
We've excluded movies that were actually successful despite their awfulness and have legions of fervent fans.
You're beautiful.
As well as movies that are so bad, they're good.
I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Number 10. Biodome.
I'm no doctor, but I think he's brain dead.
I don't know. I kind of liked Biodome. I don't know. I just like the early Pauly Shore stuff. All right. I guess I'm disqualified to comment.
Yeah, and?
No list of awful movies is complete without a visit from our buddy, Pauly Shore. Here, he's paired with Stephen Baldwin for some sort of environmental experiment gone awry.
Doyle? I don't think this is a mall.
We're not against stoner flicks per se.
You better not be. You better not be. Because they have their own genre. When it's midnight and you've got some massive cannabis indica in you, and you can't even lift your arms off the couch, and you got Cheetos all over your chest. That's what these movies are for. So just remember that.
But even with our expectations appropriately lowered, it's hard not to side with critics who called this sophomoric, one note, and unfunny.
Simeon, Dick.
But it was Polly's last surfer dude flick, so that's something.
Right.
Number 9.
All right, any movie that Mariah Carey is in deserves, like, everybody in the movie theater should go up and literally stand on the stage and urinate on the screen, like the Who did in Who's Next?
Glitter. Many divas have exploited their star power to sell movie tickets, to varying degrees of success. But Mariah Carey's was such...
That's not Mariah, just so you know, it's not her.
...a spectacular collapse. The rags-to-riches account of a biracial woman with lots of talent and more than a little moxie is formulaic, and critics complained it was a cliched catastrophe.
I meet singers all the time, but I ain't ever met anybody like you. You really got something special.
Mariah blamed the September 11th attacks for keeping fans away from theaters, but...
I never realized, I mean, 9/11 has been blamed for everything in the world. And you know me, but I didn't realize that it literally hurt this woman's movie career. So, Mariah, I'm sorry for the... something's going on outside here. I got the windows open. Beautiful night in Florida here. Here on Out on the Ledge Studios. Shh, 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 shh. Turn the mic. Sounds like drama. Oh, well.
Those who've seen glitter know the truth.
Everybody out there, don't ever take anybody for granted.
Number 8, Super Babies, Baby Geniuses 2.
All right, I have no idea what Super Babies is. So since there's a Super Babies 2, you get what I'm saying here.
So, we meet again, my little arch enemy.
Wait, this is a sequel?
What?
That's what I was saying!
You mean somebody made a movie about cheeky superhero babies who converse in a secret baby talk code, then decided a second one was necessary? Critics were united in their distaste for both Baby Geniuses flicks, remarking that unfunny jokes are still unfunny when spoken by kids.
You know, the funny thing is in show business, you know, normally a child or a pet is hard to follow. They always say that in vaudeville, don't follow a child or a pet act. But when you have a bunch of kids, and I'm sure their parents are wonderful, and these kids, and by the way, these kids have all grown up fucked up. Because they thought they were going to be superstars, and they're all probably in that Disney line of idiots now, where they're probably end up like one of the two Corys. Which one? Which is the Cory that's dead? I don't know.
It's playtime.
In fact, these toddlers could have probably found a funnier script in their diapers.
Ah! Look at that! I warned you!
Number 7, Freddy Got Fingered.
Told ya!
Ding dong!
Told ya!
Ding dong!
Talk about the 15 minutes of fame that Tom Green had. Was it the longest 15 minutes in the history of time? It was like an Einstein time wormhole of suck. Yeah, me too.
To give you some context about how bad this movie is, it got a -1 out of 5 stars in a review.
-1 out of 5, that sounds like my high school.
Tom Green's shock shtick wasn't for everyone, but this took it to new lows.
No, not my plan. Just give me my plan, Gord.
See, now, if I was like, I don't know, maybe tripping on acid or mushrooms and some weed, and this came on cable, I would watch it. Not because it had any way of connecting or stimulating or inspiring me. It was simply because in the stupid state of mind that I was, I still felt like Stephen Hawking.
And respected critics called him a bad comedian and suggested he quit his day job.
Thank God. And Drew Barrymore married this dude. Hey, Drew. Seriously, Drew? You know? What the fuck? What are you thinking?
I'm expecting that to happen.
Why? Well, the inappropriate jokes about father-son relationships, rape, wheelchairs, and newborns might have had something to do with it.
Daddy, would you like some sausage? Daddy, would you like some sausages? Daddy, would you like some sausage?
Friends that like this movie. And I'm like, were you high? Oh, yeah. It was baked out of my mind, of course. So if you watched it sober, could you make it through all 90 minutes? No.
Number 6, The Last Airbender.
Now, I watched, by the way, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, I was dating and living with a single mother, and she had a young son, and I was being the dad figure, and he watched a cartoon called The Last Airbender. And I found it fascinating because on the metaphysical level, I'm thinking, you know what? There's a, you know, young children growing up, if they watch this, they're going to start thinking outside the box. I think that's a good thing. And then the movie came out, and he's like, hey, and he called me Ledge because his dad's name was Scott. So he couldn't call me Scott because it was confusing. So he called me Ledge. He goes, Ledge, can we go see The Last Airbender movie? And I was like, yeah. Oh, my God, did it suck.
The Avatar. Where have you been?
Horrible!
Can't blame the story for this letdown. This M. Night Shyamalan flick was based on an animated series.
Ah, there's the secret code to failure. M. Night Shyamalan. The guy had like two hit movies and everything else has sucked. Did you see The Village? The Village, you know, where they had these, you know, I don't, you know what? It's been a decade. And if you haven't seen The Village, it's a village of a bunch of people. And as you watch the movie, you think it's like, I don't know, 1600, 1500. And then you realize it's modern day because these two kids travel outside the village and they get past these fake scarecrows and they jump a wall and an SUV pulls up. And I'm thinking to myself, hang on, how's this for synchronicity? Hear that? Let me turn the mic up. That's a helicopter. Hear it? Here he comes. Hang on. Aim it towards the window. There you go. And I'm thinking in the movie, The Village, and, you know, everybody's afraid to go outside the wall. Are you trying to tell me an airplane never flew over your fucking village, M. Night Shyamalan? You could drive a truck through the hole in that script.
With a built-in fan base of diehards who were ready and willing to love it.
You're lying!
They were sorely disappointed by what critics labeled a poorly written, poorly acted, poorly 3D'd mess with little to no personality.
It's time for you to stop doing this!
I snuck little bottles of whiskey in. No, I didn't. But I probably should have. Because I'm thinking, you know, it's like when you go to a football game and you sneak some booze in. If I had dumped a couple of shots in me, I probably could have tolerated it. But I found myself staring at the walls of the movie theater.
The controversial casting of white actors in Asian-inspired roles.
Oh, yeah. There's another guy. That's a completely separate topic. Didn't I cover that on a previous show? All the people that should have been cast in a movie and weren't because they should have been Asian or African or Australian and they ended up, or Aborigine, and they end up being white.
Was just the icing on the cake.
It wasn't very smart.
Number 5, Jack and Jill. Only a movie.
Now, I have to admit, the man's made hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, on some fun, articulate, kind of heartfelt, yet sophomoric movies, because he has, it's Adam Sandler. I'm not sure. What was the one where he played a devil? And yeah, okay. Little Nicky? Is that what it was? Or Little... Okay. This one I never saw, but it looks horrible.
This bad could sweep the Razzies. It's the story of twins who couldn't be more different, except they're both played by Adam Sandler.
She's a freak, man.
Yeah, again, you can't say that.
Sandler in a dress distracts us from other plot points in this one-joke story, but we do know Al Pacino plays a part as Jill's suitor.
Where am I?
What's even more mind-boggling is that fans ignored the critical spanking this flick received to make it a box office success.
Oh! Oh my God! I'm sure you have others, though.
What are the percentages of people that went to go see this movie that were stoned off their ass even before they entered the theater? Money does not equate to... Well, I guess it does. Take that back. Money does equate to success. Even in horrible Sandler movies.
You'd think it, but oddly enough, I don't.
You know what I think? I think the intelligent quotient of this show is right around Gump. Give or take a point.
Number 4, Showgirls.
Yeah, but there's lots of tits. See, I give it a hall pass. Okay, I didn't watch Saved by the Bell. I was actually in the 80s and an adult and having fun. But for those of you that were in puberty and you did watch Saved by the Bell and then you went to go see Showgirls because you were like, gee, you're like, let me do my 12-year-old voice. I wonder what she looks like naked. Then you found out you didn't care because you saw her naked. But as far as a movie is concerned.
Some stripping movies have great acting and screenplays that offset the gratuitous nudity.
There's no such thing as gratuitous nudity. I'm sorry, there is... What? When I'm naked and somebody else is naked, is that gratuitous? Depends on the camera angle, I guess.
Don't.
You lose all your money, honey? You want to make some more? Don't take any longer than 15 minutes.
After Basic Instinct, Paul Verhoeven tried shocking audiences again with the story of a hot drifter who dreams of Vegas glory. But critics agreed. Like many strip clubs, this flick is trashy to the core. Stilted dialogue, absurd sex scenes, and lap dances for the purpose of psychological one-upsmanship make this a vulgar fiasco.
Thanks for the hamburger!
Number 3. Batman and Robin.
I'm not a superhero guy. I always saw it like not Tim Robbins. I'll think of it. The director that kind of turned those campy because the original Batman was campy in the 60s. I kind of got that, and I expected that, so I didn't really see how bad these movies were because I saw them as supposed to have been campy. So I can't give this a thumbs up for sucking because it was supposed to be campy.
This superhero flick answered the question, are fans ready for Batgirl, bat nipples, and as many terrible puns as humanly conceivable?
The heat is on.
Bat nipples?
Sir, was a resounding no. Despite its vast reserves of A-list talent, this film was not well received. Critics cite the dialogue, campy sets, and an inexplicably off-his-game George Clooney for its downfall.
Friend, partner.
Oh, sure.
Brother.
Blame George.
Yeah. You trust me.
I get it, sure.
Plus, it cost $140 million to make and is 125 minutes long. Do the math. It's just staggering.
Revenge!
Okay, let me think. That's over $1 million a minute.
Number 2.
Oh, I knew it would be on the list. For all the Scientologists in the audience and John Travolta fans.
Battlefield Earth.
This has got to be one of the ugliest crap holes in the entire universe.
I couldn't agree with you more.
They're aliens. They're 9 feet tall. They have dreadlocks. Need more? Well, it's based on Scientology founder L. Ron Hubbard's book. Battlefield Earth is full of tilted angles, tinted scenes, and overacting.
And then we can get the gold.
What do you mean we?
It's my plan.
And it was mainly funded by devout Scientologist John Travolta. But critics maintained there wasn't enough money in the world to fix the bad screenplay, over-the-top acting, and terrible production values. The planned sequel was promptly scrapped.
These things, I feel like it's a test that I'm not prepared for.
Number 1. Geely.
The genius of it, the absolute poetry of it.
Brought to you by the director of Beverly Hills Cop, and with cameo roles by Christopher Walken and Al Pacino.
Somewhere a mistake has been made.
This flick was released at the height of Bennifer mania, when Ben Affleck and J-Lo were a hot and heavy item.
Please.
But critics agreed their movie was anything but a great pairing.
As awkward as it might be, we would have to take exception.
With Lopez playing the stereotypical hot lesbian who switches teams and gags about the disabled...
Yes, on my phone, brain damage!
It's about as offensive as you get.
Beautiful.
Do you agree with our list? What do you think are the worst movies of all time? If you didn't see what you were looking for, be sure to check out our list of the top 10 worst successful movies and top 10 worst spin-off movies.
Oh.
And subscribe to WatchMojo.com for more entertaining top 10s.
You are so gonna regret this.
F*** yourself!
You know, I'm thinking of top 10 worst suck. Isn't it funny how the word suck is in successful? I think we'll go to those two. Top 10 bad movies that were... Yeah, okay, we'll cue those up. There we go. Skipping ad. Ladies and gentlemen, what you're getting tonight is a taste of the opposite side of the coin known as intellect. And since everybody has a keyboard or a laptop or a tablet or a phone, guess what? Everybody is allowed to be heard. Now, if you listen to my program, you realize I am a fan of that. I think I'm just going to have to say something different. I'm going to have to say I'm a fan of that up to a certain point. And what I mean by that is I don't want to... I'm not into stifling speech. I'm not into censorship. But there has to be a line in the sand. And you know what? You know, when you're drunk and you can't enter your car because you've got to breathe into the breathalyzer, shouldn't they have that same kind of technology to get on the internet and actually express an opinion? I think that would be a pretty good idea. I think there's some money in that. So-and-so on Facebook posted, oh, wait a minute, he's not allowed to post because he's a dunce. Now, do we get into ideology, religion, dogma, belief systems that have been passed down over and over and over and over and over again in storytelling like they do in villages 1,000 years ago? Or do we actually get to the point where, I don't know, you can actually Google a topic, go to a direct link to the subject matter, and then maybe someone with knowledge, like flat earthers. You know what a flat earther is, right? Do you know what? There needs to be a... That's right. Like a talk show. Like a Johnny Carson kind of a thing. Like, tonight on Flat Earthers, we'll be discussing the fact that the Earth is flat and the sun is only 32 miles away. And how the fuck did we get a voice? And 500 years ago, the Catholic Church thought the same thing. And it took them 500 years to apologize for being wrong. And this is what I think about this. You know how tough it is to get into a conversation with anybody who thinks they know everything? Who's not willing to, you know, people want to talk to me about 9/11 all the time. Oh, so you're one of them conspiracy theorists and you think 9/11, okay. Have you looked into it? No. Would you actually look into it if I sent you some links and videos to watch, and would you look into it? Well, that's just part of the same conspiracy. No. That's science. There's a money trail. There's a back history. There's what's happened after the fact. That's called a timeline of facts. Would you look into that? Would you be willing to do that? How's that for timing? No, they wouldn't. So I had to learn a few years ago, and this is what tonight's show is about, is you got to shake them off. You don't have to sit there and convince them. I would still say be polite. Don't be mean-spirited. Don't say mean-spirited things, but don't be afraid to challenge their intellect with a question and say, you know what? I don't have time for this. I'm moving on. Now, that's just one subject before we get to these 10 worst movies and close up the show here. I think it's vitally important that what tonight's show is about, to be serious just for a second here, all through history, there have been the questioners of the realities. And they have always been the pariah. They have always been the person made fun of in the village. And then history later on proves them right, or correct. Correct is a better word than right, because right sounds egotistical. Correct sounds like, wow, the world isn't flat. And the sun does not revolve around the Earth. It's the opposite. But those were facts back then. People, it was just like you hear me now, just as you're listening through some technology live or you downloaded the show and you're listening after the fact and you are absolutely sure you hear me and you hear these words and you're it's unarguable that you are listening. Well, guess what? 1,000 years ago, if somebody said, I'm not sure that the sun revolves around the earth, it might be the opposite. Laughed out of the village, made fun of, probably arrested. You know, Galileo was locked in a tower for 17 years. He had to recant. He had put out a pamphlet of Copernicus's work and his own. What do you think is any different now? Nothing is different. The internet is full of trolls. Now, the troll gets off on pissing you off. The troll gets off on how many people, you know, type, you're an asshole, you're a dick. You know, I'm in my mom's basement. I got 43 people telling me I'm an idiot. That's awesome. I'm lonely. I don't get laid. You know, basically, I'm kind of being a little mean-spirited as I say this, but I'm not. What is the psychology and the psychosis of someone who needs to be a troll versus someone who's going, you know what? I haven't thought about that. Let me look into that. Really? Are you sure that's correct? You know what? I may be wrong. I might need to change my mind. I might need to rethink that. Those are wonderful people. Those are the people that will help change the world in a forward momentum. And that's how we lift ourselves to one level of higher consciousness, then the next. That's how we don't backtrack. We are willing to say I was wrong or I was misinformed. And that's a big thing with me when I talk to people and they talk to me about things. I go, what if you were lied to? Would you at least be willing to admit that? Because the ego, this is the hard part, especially in America, of saying, I was wrong. I mean, you know, men don't even ask for directions when they're driving around. They're not willing to say, I don't know, I was wrong. We've been conditioned to always be correct or always be right. And now we've got this thing called Google, Internet, Snopes, all the way down the line where you can do your own research. And maybe, what if you were wrong? Well, this is what I say. What if you were lied to? What if you were fed false information? And then they go, oh, yeah, I was lied to. Because if you say you're wrong, you're an idiot, you're a jerk, you don't know what you're talking about, their ego kicks in. They put up the wall, you know, all the defense mechanisms kick in, and you can't, and there's no room. It's just like, you know, like those longhorn sheep banging heads. No one's going to budge. But if you were to say, I was lied to by the mainstream media, and now I'm rethinking a subject, what's wrong with that? Your ego can handle that. You don't have to say I was wrong. You don't have to go through all that. Well, that's what tonight's show is about. Everybody should be able to be willing to change your mind. Can't do it, can you? Most of us can't. You know, and I'm going to say the same thing about myself. Let me see what I've changed. Changed my mind. I thought the moon landing was a hoax. Changed my mind. I thought chemtrails were absolutely, you know, up there. I'm far more leaning towards natural contrails. So I've changed my mind or I was wrong. Don't be afraid to be that person. You know why? It lends itself to being more balanced. You will end up as a more balanced human being, and I think that's a beautiful thing. It's okay to have a strong opinion. It's okay to stand for what you believe in and have a backbone, but be flexible enough to change your mind. Okay, I'm done being serious. All right, let's go to bad movies that were successful. Now, these 10 movies made money. Yeah. I knew that would be it.
We got him!
A wise man once said, nobody ever went broke underestimating the intelligence of the American public.
Wait.
See what I'm talking about? See what I'm talking about? 350 million people. How many of those people are willing to say, that's stupid, it sucks, it's below me, and I will not tolerate it? Versus, hey, see that explosion? That was awesome when the giant dinosaur stepped on the ape. We're somewhere in the middle, I guess.
Please, you're saying the Holy Grail is a person?
Welcome to WatchMojo.com, and today we're counting down our picks for the top 10 worst...
I saw Jar Jar Binks.
...movies that were successful.
Decepticons, begin our assault!
For this list, we've chosen movies that had wild success, whether at the award shows or at the box office, but have been criticized as bad by a bunch of people.
Ah. Your point is well seen.
Now let me show you.
Didn't you want to punch that? I mean, seriously, I'm not a Star Wars geek. But when I saw that, and I was like, okay, you've got CGI, and you can create amazing characters, and some of them will be so cool and different. And, you know, you have an open palette to do this, and you put that in a movie?
Grab.
Number 10, The Da Vinci Code. Famed film critic Rex Reed said it.
Good book, though.
Best. What's wrong with The Da Vinci Code can be summed up in one word. Everything.
Okay.
Critics agreed.
That's a Ron Howard movie, too. Tom Hanks, Ron, you know, great book. Dan Brown's book. Not necessarily all factual. Don't take it all as science or fact. But... wow, did that movie suck.
Dan Brown's phenomenally successful page-turner made for a phenomenally boring movie with forced plot twists and wasted talent.
It's the pairing of those two pyramids. It's unique. The two are geometric echoes.
Fascinating.
The cast tries hard, but only Ian McKellen and Paul Bettany rise above the material.
And that is what they want you to
believe.
But even so, this was one of 2006's highest-grossing movies.
If it's so important for you to stop us, then you're just going to have to shoot us. You can start with him.
You know, I could get kicked out of the military for this.
Number 9, Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, I'm fine. I feel great. I mean, this is just standard precautionary.
Michael Bay's movies may never be long on character development, but his better efforts have enough excitement to make them worthwhile.
Ma'am, I know how this looks.
Pearl Harbor has its centerpiece bombing sequence, but the rest of the film is one long, sudsy trek through soap opera.
Rafe, I'm pregnant.
With iffy acting and an even iffier screenplay.
I don't understand.
Overproduced and...
I watched it once, and that was enough. You know, it is a day of infamy, and, you know, the conspiracy side and those stories we won't touch on right now. What was it? It was like almost a three-hour movie? I mean, how much suck can you handle in 3 hours?
Under-involving, this epic is every bit as dull as your high school history class.
When the action is over and we look back, we understand both more and less.
Comes to scorpions, the bigger the better.
Number 8, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Yeah, honestly, you know, the first one, Raiders, is a classic. I mean, you can't touch that movie. That movie is awesome. And then what do? Hollywood says, let's make a part 3 and a part 4. See, I always go to the redneck folks. Let's just milk this bitch and tail the... Well, what do? Well, maybe it'll be okay. We go spend our money, and they just... They kick you in the crotch.
People said a series had jumped the shark when it strayed into irretrievable stupidity.
Yep.
Now, thanks to Crystal Skull, they say it's nuked the fridge. Indiana's survival of an atom blast in a lead-lined refrigerator is emblematic of what's wrong with this movie. It assumes there's no such thing as over the top. Without the blend of comedy and action that made Indy popular, this sequel was not worth the wait.
To put you to sleep just by talking.
Maybe we saw being friends.
Remember, all these movies made a lot of money.
Number 7, Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace.
This is very, very bad.
Oh!
It's tempting to sum up what's wrong with The Phantom Menace in 3 words. Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, boy, I told
you. I love you.
Oh, who didn't want to? Well, I was going to say drown him, but he lives underwater. You can't drown him. Honestly, I have never wanted to roast a movie character on a spigot over a hot fire, but I wonder what Jar Jar Binks would taste like. Is like salmon, or you know, because he's an aquatic animal, maybe more like a sea bass.
You're brainless.
Fact is, there's even more to dislike.
That's the last thing Misa wants.
The waste of a talented cast, wince-inducing dialogue.
They think their brain's so big.
And George Lucas's inept attempt to put more science in his science fiction.
It wasn't my fault, really.
The Guardian critic was right when he called the film a pop culture calamity, but audiences still couldn't stay away.
Ah, hard to see the dark side is.
Because we're all dumb. We're Americans. And anything, you know, America. America. They should just drop the A. Just drop the A. Just start with a capital M and we'll be good to go.
Number 6. Transformers Revenge of the Fallen.
What is that, like the third or fourth sequel? The first one was clever, funny. It had, you know, it was just, and I'm not a Transformers guy. In the 80s, I wasn't 13 years old, but hang on. No, that's not the police helicopter.
Get up. I'm okay. I'm all right.
This is combat, man.
Oh, brain freeze, man.
What's wrong with you?
A film about giant robots is going to be silly, but it doesn't have to be stupid.
You're hot, but you ain't so bright.
Revenge of the Fallen would have us believe you can cover up the existence of mega-sized robots that destroyed half of California.
The secret is out!
Also, if these robots are so technologically advanced, why are they such lousy shots? Then,
because they're like stormtroopers. They couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
They're skids and mudflap. Need we say more?
That hurt, man.
It's supposed to hurt. It's an ass kicking.
Thank you, Michael Bay, for sucking all the fun out of this series.
Get in the garage. I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. Just go in the garage quietly, please.
That looks delicious.
Pixar movies are hit or miss. I mean, you know, Toy Story was awesome. Monsters, Inc. was just a brilliant, beautiful, fun script. It appealed to adults and kids. Not so much this one.
Number 5, Cars 2. The first Cars was a little stumble on Pixar's part, not quite living up to the studio's high standards.
The only thing they haven't stopped doing is laughing at us. They've called us terrible names.
The sequel, though, was a disaster, according to critics, with story points that develop, then disappear, a ridiculous spy plot, and a predictable fish-out-of-water setup that quickly wears out its welcome.
Forget about it!
You know how you feel.
Ultimately, it doesn't matter who wins the race in this film. The losers are the viewers.
Who's winning the race?
Now, what do we have here?
This would be probably, I don't know, part 4 or 5 of a great little pirate movie. You know, that started off really fun and different, and characters were interesting.
Number 4, Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. There's only one thing that a pirate's...
Notice the common denominator of all these shit-faced movies? Sequels!
The Caribbean movie simply cannot be.
Hello, Jackie.
And that is precisely what on...
Oh, Keith Richards' cameo was pretty cool.
Stranger Tides is... tired.
All part of the plan, yes?
Critics complain the film just drags along, revisiting characters and situations we've seen before without adding anything new.
Faces familiar. Have I threatened you before?
Even Johnny Depp's outrageous Captain Jack is no longer fresh.
This is rumor, not true.
The first films were effortless fun. This one is all effort.
Crime of which you've been found guilty of is being innocent of being Jack Sparrow.
Number 3, Spider-Man 3. Word of advice to Spider-Man. Leave the twerking to Miley Cyrus. The embarrassing pelvic dance down the streets sank Spider-Man 3. But it wasn't helped by some sappy Peter Mary Jane moments.
Tell me you love me.
I love you.
I'm about to be replaced by another actor.
And a story that was way overstuffed.
Where do all these guys come from?
A few good action sequences couldn't help the film break through the web of its unfocused plotting.
See?
And critics panned its lack of humor.
I like being bad. It makes me happy.
Number 2, The English Patient.
Oh my God.
How
did
a film like this win the Best Picture Oscar?
Are you remembering more?
But we can't give credit to the critics in this case. They loved this overlong and overly ambitious movie, but not everyone did.
How could you not love that movie? How about it sucked?
Yes! It did! It was horrible! And it made several hundred million. I think tonight's synopsis of Dangerous Conversation is, we're fucking doomed.
Away the English Patient's flashback structure, and what do you have? An overlong, pretentious tearjerker about two people who were expected to care about because they have upper-class accents?
This Hungarian count, he's a wanderer, he's a fool.
Sorry, not our cup of tea.
And then one day he falls under the spell of a mysterious English woman.
And his face burns off.
Number one, Twilight franchise.
That's Edward.
Not one movie. The whole franchise. Never saw any of them. I don't care. I'm not a teenager. And I will never watch any of those movies. I haven't seen any Harry Potter movies. And don't get me wrong, I'm sure some of you like at least the first five. How many were there? Yeah, see what I'm saying?
Cohen.
Can you build an entire franchise around a boring girl whose entire character is defined by her need to have a boyfriend?
Yep.
Twilight's massive success says you can.
And they did.
But critics will be quick to tell you it doesn't make for good films.
I don't care.
Neither does laughable dialogue, wooden acting, a total lack of logic, and soulless direction.
Wooden acting.
I'm the one with the wicked curveball.
Someone should have driven a stake through the heart of this series after the first film.
It's like diamonds. You're beautiful.
Do you agree with our list? Which successful movie had you most baffled with its popularity? For more top tens about your favorite and least favorite flicks,
how bad is it? You know, I used to smoke.
Be sure to subscribe to WatchMojo.com.
Damn, I'm good.
Any one of the movies that made a lot of movie and they made a sequel, the first one was successful. I can understand the Hollywood formula of doing that, but I think it kind of brings tonight's show full circle and says, have we run out of ideas, concepts, real thinkers, people that can push the envelope of thought? Can you take a book and transform it into a movie? Can you take a book and really open people's minds? Will they request that? Will they seek, that kind of stuff? In this country, right now, no fucking way. No way. No way. We're all bread and circus. And tonight was a opening the release valve on some pressure. And remember, if you know me, I am a huge fan of balance. Question the matrix. Push your thought process. If there's something you're curious about, seek that knowledge, absorb it, share it with others, all that. But don't forget to have fun. You don't want to be lying in some bed in your 80s, looking back and going, man, I took everything way too serious. Because 1,000 years ago, the same corrupt people were running the same corrupt matrix. The only difference between Greece or Rome and now is the technology, the ability to kill us each other at a distance. And meanwhile, maybe it's time to laugh a little. Get some hugs in. Tell the people that are in your life you love them. that kind of thing. Don't forget the balance. That's what tonight's show was about. Thanks for hanging. I'll talk to you soon.